Amen. As they're going back this morning, I just want to add a few other prayer requests here, too, as our prayer time continues. We'll remember Miss Margaret Barnett. Miss Margaret will begin chemo and radiation for treatments for lung cancer a week from tomorrow. And they're telling to hope to have everything completed by the end of April for her treatments and to kind of know where they stand there. But they've diagnosed her with stage 3 lung cancer. Also, Tim Wells will have a kidney transplant on Thursday. Please continue to pray for that. He's been waiting for a long time for that. They thought they had it set up to do that on Tuesday. Found out that kidney was not a perfect match, and so they were able to find another kidney. And praying for everything to go well on Thursday, for everyone to be healthy beforehand and able to participate, and for the surgery to go well as well. As I mentioned, sickness, we have a lot of people out today. We've got a few I know that are out in different places traveling, but we've got a lot of folks that are out with sickness also. So if you would, please remember that. Pray for Woody Percival. That's Beth Ross's brother. Woody is on hospice care, but more important, continue to pray for Woody for his faith, that he would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him for his salvation, that he would be saved. And then also want to celebrate with Rhonda Turner, as Brooke and Gant had their little baby girl yesterday. And her name is Jenna Kate Martin. She was 5 pounds, 13 ounces. So we certainly want to celebrate with them. And then also Wasatch Cowboy Church that we'll be partnering with in July and have been partnering with for the last 3 years. Continue to pray for them as they have broken ground. They're beginning the process of trying to build their building. We'll be preparing to go out there with a team in July 13th through 20th. We have about 8 people from Lake Cooley Baptist Church will be joining us on this trip. We'll probably work with another church there in Ogden also. So just pray for the work that's going on there. There are about 30 different church planters in a valley of about 2.5 million people that are not worshipers of God. The beauty of the area itself is one that most people move there just to be able to hike in the mountains, to hunt, to do all the things you would do outdoors and enjoy doing in nature, but yet many of them don't worship God. And so it's a very dark place, and so we want to come alongside these sister churches and help them, and through that hopefully be challenged and challenge us too that we can serve in greater ways here to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do want to celebrate with Leon and Shirley, and we'll celebrate with Eddie and Sheila on their birthday as well and on their anniversaries and all those things. But I just want to thank the family for being here today too. You know, we kind of look at it sometimes, well, it's an anniversary, but I want to tell you, it's a testimony, and I've shared this before. When you have families where a mother and a father have been married for 50 and 60 years, it's an example to us, first of all, of the pattern set before us. But also, it's a testimony of God's grace. We see families being destroyed daily. And to see people that love the Lord Jesus Christ and have committed themselves to him and to his bride, the church, because these are two faithful servants as well, serving within the church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you today and I thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for our needs, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, we come not just as children asking for things, Lord, and desiring the things of the world and the things that we might want, but, Lord, we would desire, first of all, to meet with you and to worship you in spirit and truth today. God, I pray, Lord, that those who have come have a heart and a desire to hear your word today, Lord, and to hear a word of challenge and word of correction, Lord, a word of rebuke, Lord, a word of encouragement, Lord, for where they are in their lives today. Lord, you know where each and every one of us are in our relationship to you, whether we have a relationship or not, and whether we're in a close walk with you or not. Lord, as we come to study your word today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just remind us, Lord, of the importance of prayer and humbling ourselves before you. As we read the words of the Apostle Paul, Lord, I pray, God, that know that your word does not return void, that you would just speak to each of us and remind us of the grace that we have received as followers of Christ. Lord, the grace that we continue to receive each and every day of your hand of protection and provision, Lord, your guidance in our lives, Lord, the blessing of being a child of God. And Lord, part of that is being a part of the body of Christ as well. And Lord, we live in a time where many who profess to be believers don't see a great need to be a part of a local body. But Lord, we don't read about Lone Ranger Christianity in the Bible. Lord, we read about the sweet fellowship of coming together and worshiping you together and serving together, glorifying you, Lord, and being uplifted and encouraged by our brothers and sisters in Christ and encouraging them during their times of need as well. And Lord, it's times like this when we come, we just lift up those that we mentioned earlier. Lord, I pray for Tim Wells. Lord, I know he desperately is calling upon you, Lord, for this to come through, Lord, for this transplant to take place and everything to go well as he desires to be healthy and to be able to once again be able to do the things that he could do to worship you and acknowledge you in a more even way, Lord, of a more normal life. Lord, I pray also, Lord, for Miss Margaret. I pray thanking you for the doctors and nurses, Lord, and everyone who will be providing care for her. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the gifts and the understanding of the body you've given them. But Lord, most importantly, as a great physician, Lord, I pray that if it's your will today, Lord, that you would touch her body, heal her body, Lord, just as a way of giving testimony that you are still God and you're still in the miracle business, Lord. And the greatest miracle of all is a miracle of salvation. Lord, the miracle to take place in healing would draw people's attention to the fact that you're still on the throne. And Lord, whether you heal or not, Lord, we know you're still on the throne because of who you are. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, as we come today, I pray now, Lord, you'll just speak to us. And Lord, we would respond according to your leading, leading your word and the Holy Spirit. We ask in Christ's name, amen. We're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 3 today as we're going through the book of Ephesians in our study. As we had studied a few weeks ago, we were in the first part of chapter 3. And then I want to say a word thank you again, too, for everyone that helped in the celebration for our 12-year anniversary last week and for Dr. Randy Bradley and coming to bring a great message to challenge us in our walk and a relationship with the Lord. And as I look out, I'm thankful for everyone that's here. And as I said last week, I see a lot of faces that were here when I came. And I've seen a lot of faces that didn't even know about Ebenezer Welcome, just like I didn't before I began the process of talking to the search team. I knew there was a part of association, didn't know a whole lot about the church. But how our lives have changed as God has brought us together. And he continues to give us opportunity to worship him and to serve him together here in this church. I'm thankful to be the pastor of this church, and I'm thankful to be here with you serving where we are right now. And it's a time that there's a great need in our community. And God has placed this church here 140 plus years ago that we would be here for this day, for this time, to reach these people. And I want to challenge you too, as Brandon was asking earlier, in the need for help with children on Wednesday nights. It really goes from the nursery up that we need help. But also on Sunday mornings. As you look at this, many of you here are thinking about when we came here 12 years ago, is we didn't have a lot of these young children. We didn't have a lot of these kids here. And you look for the day that we'd have that. And I want to ask some of you grandmothers to be willing to go and rock some babies. You do that with your grandbabies and your great-grandbabies and just adopt these in as your grandbabies as you love on them and love on these precious families. And I want to encourage these young families, love these senior citizens. Look at their example and appreciate it. Because we have some fine seniors that are setting a great example. And they're faithful to the Lord and they're faithful to this church. As we come to our text today, Paul has come to a point that he's been teaching the doctrine and the critical to the church that we teach correct doctrine about who Christ is and about how we can worship Christ and do so in a way to honor and glorify him, but yet at the same time worship the one true and living God. And now he's beginning to share with us in prayers. He's began prayer here in chapter 3 again, and he's kind of went on a little bit of a holy rabbit trail in verses 2 through 13 and kind of shared some of his past experiences. He was reflecting upon the grace that he had been talking about that's been extended to us in chapters 1 and 2. And so at verse 14 here, he's kind of coming back to the point of what brought him here and where he's praying for the church at Ephesus. Now, as he's speaking to the church, I want you to understand, Paul is in prison. Paul loves this church. He planted this church. but he's been away for some time. So when it mentions a couple of chapters earlier, when it talks about that he almost like he didn't know some of them, it's like he may not have known them personally. He knew what he had heard about them from those who had reported to him how the church was doing. And so Paul is writing them in a sense like a spiritual father, challenging them to focus upon the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, focus upon the kingdom of God, be faithful to God and serving him. And one way that we begin that is by humbling ourselves before God and falling on our face, prostrate before him to call out to him about our personal relationship with him. And so the first thing I want you to begin to see is that we need to learn how to pray with humility. Paul begins in verse 14 to say, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Now, as Paul says, "for this reason," he's referring back to really chapters 1 and 2. He's referring back to the grace he's talked about there and how we've received God's grace as those who are his children. And how we continue to receive that grace each day as we lovingly walk with him in faith and obedience. And so as he is speaking here, he's saying, "For these reasons, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I want to say, we should join Paul when we acknowledge what Christ did for us at Calvary on the cross. And we recognize and acknowledge what he did in saving us as a sinner and what he continues to do for us each and every day as he has to forgive us of our sins, as we confess our sins daily, that he is faithful and just to do that. He loves us and he continues to love us even sometimes when we're not very lovable. And with that we need to humble ourselves and acknowledge his great love for us. Now, he's going to talk about our need to love him and reach out and loving him and following him in that love as well. But what he's talking about here is God's love for us. Now, we live in a time when there are large numbers of people that are on prescription drugs for depression, for bipolar conditions, for many different things that are affecting the way that we function and the way that we perceive ourselves in this world. But I'm here to tell you today is that the greatest thing you can do is acknowledge Jesus Christ's love for you each and every day and understand that no matter what your circumstances are, no matter where you find yourself, no matter the fact you may think, "Lord, where are you? Have you forgotten me?" He's not forgotten you one second. He loves you and he's there with you to help you in your time of need. He's there every single day. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And as Paul begins to say here, "I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," keep in mind this posture of prayer that he's entering into. Now, there are many different ways we see in the Bible where people are either standing or they're kneeling or they're praying or they're prostrate on their face. And so there's not a particular way that you have to come before the Lord. But as a Jew, typically they would stand, as you see at the Wailing Wall, and they would just stand there and pray to the Lord. But what Paul's acknowledged is because of what Christ did for him and the reflection he's had upon that, it's brought him to his knees saying, "I am not worthy." Remember he said, "I am chief among sinners." And yet he has received the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and has become adopted into the family of God as a child of God, just as you and I have. And he's thinking about all the blessings that he's received as a child of God. But he's reminding the Ephesians and he's reminding us of that same blessing we have received as his children. And so he begins by humbling himself and beginning in prayer. But notice he says in verse 15, "from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." He's saying everyone is under the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ as followers of Christ. And the day is going to come that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether they've trusted him or not. But it's going to be too late for those who have not trusted him at that point. But what he's saying here is that we need to be reminded of who we belong to as well. You know what, folks? No matter what comes against us, is that we can trust God in all things that he will be with us to help us and to deliver us from our situation. Now, what I mean by that is we still going to have to face the consequences of sin. And sometimes people think, well, I prayed and the Lord forgave me and he saved me, but I'm still having to stay in jail or I'm still having to deal with these problems over here. Well, you're still going to deal with those problems, but he's going to be with you every step of it as you deal with it. But it's a change that happens in your life. That transformation begins to happen from the point that you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you commit yourself to him as he begins that process of renewing the mind and changing the heart and giving you a new outlook on life. Not just that I'm going to be a better person. It's not pop psychology. But the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you and he begins to lead you and to guide you into all truth and righteousness. And as he's pointing you towards that, your life changes if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin and received the gift of salvation. And so as he's speaking to them here, he says that all of the family in heaven and earth is named. And sometimes I think when we think about church, people look at church as well. You got so many churches on every corner here in the South that, you know, you can just kind of pick one. And if you don't like that one, you can go down the road and find another one. But here's the thing. It's important scripturally that we find where the family of God is that God's calling us to be a part of, and that we find our place that we plug in and we become a part of that local New Testament family of God. It's that when you're not in the family of God, it's like you're drifting. And you're not anchored in that sense of being where you should be and doing what you should be doing and with the people you should be with. Now, I'm not telling you we don't associate with those that are lost to try to witness to them and try to win them over to the Lord. We do. But you got to have an anchor point. You got to have a place to come to. And we know that's Christ. But we also understand, too, this we're tied, connected with the bride, too, is the church. And there's a great importance in being a part of the member of the body of Christ. It is that when you do go through times of difficulty, when you do have those questions, those doubts, brothers and sisters come to you and lovingly pray with you and encourage you and challenge you. And sometimes, to be quite honest with you, when we're having those woe is me parties, they also give us those swift kicks we need to get us started in the right direction again, too. I mean, I'm speaking spiritually here now. I'm not saying to go around kicking people. But when I say that, you know what I'm saying is that we see the countenance of those around us. And we can tell when someone's hurting. We can tell when someone's in need. And we can go to them and pray with them and put our arms around them and tell them we love them and tell them God loves them too. And remind them of those things that maybe they've forgotten through all that they're going through. And Paul is saying that it's under the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father that we actually go and do that. As we think about that, I was thinking about too, and it says in heaven and in earth. He's talking about Jesus as our creator, but also he's talking about here too, the fact that I think about those that have gone before us. When we go by this graveyard out here, I know a lot of times to some of you, especially if you're newer and you don't have family connections, you look at it and you think, well, I wonder who those people are. Wonder who they were. Well, I want to tell you, a lot of their family members are right here, so you can find out a lot about those folks. But what you find out is a lot of those were saints of God that went before us, that prepared the way by plowing the fields here that were hard and removing a lot of the rocks and the things that need to be done to prepare the way for where we're reaping a harvest now and seeing people's lives changed. There's still some hard ground out there. But we can't stop because those have gone before us are in heaven now cheering us on as we read over there in Hebrews saying, go, don't stop, keep going, keep going. It's worth the race. The battle is worth it. Don't quit. Just keep going because God is worth it. And I want to tell you, heaven is worth it as well. Not that we earn our way to heaven by works. We know that. But if we're followers of Christ, our works are going to bear out too in the fact that we're going to bear good fruit. We're going to continue to bear fruit as we continue to be faithful. And so Paul is challenging here is that be reminded of who you belong to and what he has done for us. But also he begins to pray for them. See, Paul realizes and he's on his knees praying because there's something they need there that Paul can't give them, just like I can't give to you as the pastor. It's something that you need, but you need it from God, and he's the only one can give it to you, and that's what Paul's going to begin to challenge him. He says in verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Now, as he's talking about being according to his riches and glory, and his glory. We know that he owns everything, right? He created everything. So there's no lack of being able to help whatever your need is. God has all unlimited ability and power to be able to help you no matter what your need is. And so the thing is he's saying, but he's praying that he would then give you strength. Now, when you read in the book of Revelation, it's one of the things you read there is one of the churches that had strength to endure, to persevere, to hold on to the word, to be faithful to God. Folks, I want to tell you, in the time that we live in, with all the tolerance that's being preached and taught out there, and everything is to be acceptable and taken to, you know, if it's good for you and that's what you want, that's fine. That's not right. If it doesn't match up with God's word, it's just wrong. And so with that you would have the strength, the boldness, the courage to remain firm in the faith and with the word of God to proclaim that word to those who are perishing. Those who know the truth, but maybe are not walking in the truth. Those that are being deceived by those in the world. And so Paul prays for them to have strength. But also, notice what he says here. He prays with and might through his spirit in the inner man. Now, he's talking about God the Father, God the Son here. Now he's talking about God the Spirit. And so as he's speaking that, all aspects of the Trinity, again, are being brought forth. And so he's saying, listen, every personage of the Lord God is a part of you and needed in your life. And I think sometimes we neglect the Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit because we're afraid of Southern Baptists to kind of talk about what, you know, you're talking about the Holy Spirit and what God revealed to you and how maybe through an experience that you had or something, how he revealed something to you. People think, oh, you've been very mystical here now. And maybe you've been a little Pentecostal there and they get a little afraid of you. Well, let me just say, is the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He teaches us. He's our teacher. He convicts us of our sin. He guides us when we're following. And with that too, is he's saying here that he might help in changing your inner man and strengthening you. Now, the world places a lot of value on the outer man. You know, we got to go to the gym. We got to look good. We got to be all fit. We got to do this. We got to do that. It's what everybody talks about. But when you read in the scriptures, the thing that's important is that inner man is more important. It's the person that God is changing us, that as he's forming us in that individual he wants us to be. I want to tell you today that I'm not the same man today that I was before November 2nd, 1989 when I got saved. Now, I'm still Vince Ganey, but I'm a lot different person than I was. And I'm a different husband than this woman had for those first 3 years of our marriage as well. Not that I'm perfect now, but he is molding me and changing me. And my whole worldview and perception has changed because my inner man has been changed through the power and the strength of the Spirit of God working in me, renewing me and strengthening me every day as it reads over in 2 Corinthians. And folks, I want to tell you that's the way it should be in all of our lives. And that's what Paul is praying for that strengthening to take place through the inner relationship with the intimacy of God and that relationship. And the outside part of it's important too. But it's not as important as the inner man in your relationship with the Lord God. You know, the thing about it is this old body's going to be gone one way or the other anyway. A lot of people are looking forward to that day when you get that glorious new body. But you know, for that to happen, you've got to live in such a way with your life committed to the Lord here. He has to be changing you into that person he wants you to be, preparing you to receive that new glorified body as well. And so you're a work in progress. We ain't finished yet. You know, I love Ruth Graham Bell's when on her tombstone there, it says that the construction's complete. God had been working on her all those years, but that construction's complete now. And she, I think she laughed about the fact that if you've ever driven the roads in South Carolina, North Carolina, everywhere you go, just about there's a sign up for road construction. And while we're here, we're under construction. God's working on us. But when you get to heaven, that construction's ended. But you know, as Paul is saying, that change and that rebuilding needs to take place daily through that intimate walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to learn to pray with humility and in humbleness on our knees before the Lord, but also pray for the fullness of God's power and love. And if there's two things that I think the world needs right now, is God's power and God's love. It says in verse 7 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, as Paul is praying for to be filled with God's power, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, he's just talked about the strengthened through the Spirit, and now he's talking about that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And sometimes you say, well, how does Christ dwell in our hearts? And when the Spirit dwells within us, it's the same thing as that Christ dwells within us as well. And that with that, he's saying that you may be reminded in everything that you do that there is a witness to everything that you're doing, everything that you're saying. And sometimes you can be alone and think, well, nobody's going to know. But let me just say this, God is with you as a child of God, and he knows exactly what you're doing. And so the things that we do, we need to be reminded that he's there with us, and that he dwells in our hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. You know, when I talk to people trying to share the gospel, I understand the theology of that God is the only one true and living God and all these things. But as I begin to talk to them, I don't talk to them about, you know, the fact that all these do's and don'ts that they shouldn't do and shouldn't do and all this kind of stuff. What I begin to talk to them about is a relationship. Because when you really talk about it, that's what it really boils down to is the Christian faith. It's talking about a relationship. It's talking about a relationship personally with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we have that or whether we do not have that. But it also goes back to the fact of love and the fact that God loved us while we were his enemies, and yet he still sent his son to come and to die for us, and that he willingly went to the cross and died for our sins. And so when I think about that and I'm sharing with someone, it talks about the power of God to change lives. First of all, the power of God to send his son born of a virgin to live a sinless life and fulfill the law and then willingly go to the cross and take a beating and a death that he did not deserve for you and for me. And folks, I want to tell you something. There's some hardened hearts out there, and there are some that would not receive this gift, but there's many that when they hear that truth of how much God loves them and the power of God and the fact that when he sent his son, he went to the cross and he died and he was placed in that tomb. And on the third day, the power of God was shown directly when he raised him from the grave, raised him from death. And he gave us that promise as his children that he will come back for us. And he gave us that promise and that hope of eternal life. And with that, we have that assurance of the fact that we will be with him because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I will come again so that where I am there, you will be also. And so Paul is challenging us here to be mindful of the fact that we need God's power. The other thing is, Jesus said, you can do nothing apart from him. And the fact, you know, when we try to do things in our own strength in ministry or whatever we're trying to do here in the church, when we plan it, when we lead it, and we do everything ourselves, and we're thinking, we got this, we got the money, we got the resources, we got the people, we got everything we need, but we don't humble ourselves and pray, Lord, is this even your will? It's doomed to fail. Oh, it may show a temporary seeming success, but what's going to happen is ultimately it's going to fail. Because we need God's power to infuse the ministries that we're doing here, because he's called us, he's equipped us and gifted us. He's leading us into doing this. And with that, then he's the one that has to prepare the hearts of people to receive the message of what we're trying to share with them. He's the one that calls them to himself and saves them. He's the one that makes them understand their need for him. Now, he uses people sometimes as that voice to speak into lives to do that. But we don't save anybody. And so when someone's saved, it's not by our power, it's by God's power. It's by God's love. You know, I read as I was preparing, and there was an illustration there, and it's called Palm Monday. Now, everybody talks about Palm Sunday. It's going to be coming up here pretty soon. And remember the little donkey that Jesus rode in on us? He got up on Monday, and he was excited about, just overjoyed about the day that he'd experienced the day before. And we've had times in our lives, in our Christian walk like that, where the power and the presence of God is so close and so near, it's like we can almost see him almost because he's there. And we know he's there anyway. But the thing is this little donkey had experienced something he had never experienced in his life. People were throwing clothes down and throwing palm branches down. And, you know, so he gets up and he goes down towards the market down there. And he's looking at the people and says, why are you not throwing clothes down? You need to be throwing clothes down like you did yesterday. And he's thinking, yeah, what's wrong with these people? One of them kind of smacks him and tells him to move on. So he goes down to another place. Well, there's some good people down here. They'll remember yesterday. And said, you know, where are the palm branches? Why are you not throwing those palm branches down at me again? I mean, that was such an amazing thing. It's almost like he was a rock star. You know, he got that little complex. It's about me. And I want to tell you, sometimes we get that idea too, that we think it's about us. And when things are going really well, it's easy to think, Lord, look what I've done. People patting you on the back, boy, y'all have done such a good job. Or, you know, these things are happening, boy, y'all are doing so good. Always give glory to the Lord. Because it's his. The thing was, he goes home and he's disappointed. He's talking to his mama and she says, foolish child. They were doing that for Jesus yesterday. Without Jesus, we're nothing. We have no hope. And folks, that's just a little simple illustration of what Paul's talking about here. But with Christ, we're more than conquerors. But apart from Christ, we have no hope. And as he is challenging them here that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and you being rooted and grounded in love. Now, you would have thought he would have said rooted and grounded in the word of God. Well, surely he means that too. But you got to be rooted and grounded in the love of God too. You know, the thing about it is, I understand that, you know, we can get carried away with experience, but experience needs to match up with scripture too. But let me just say this too. You can't talk about and identify about a personal relationship with anybody, whether it's your spouse or whether it's a child or whether it's a neighbor, if you've got an intimate relationship with him, but no different than you do with God, is you've got to express times where he has revealed himself in some way and spoken into your life. And with that, we're rooted in the love of God. As when we remember the grace that we've received through his death, burial, and resurrection, through the gift of salvation, when we remember the daily walk we have with him and how he has guided us and he has blessed us and he protects us. You know, a lot of times you're traveling down the road and you get frustrated because you get delayed with traffic or whatever it may be. And then you come up on there and there's a big wreck. And you think, man, if I hadn't been delayed, I probably would have been right in the middle of that, because you're looking at your watch thinking time-wise, I would have been right in that here, that time frame. And if you travel much, you're familiar with that. But sometimes it's easy to look back on those things and see God's protection. It is to see it when it's happening. But he does those things, and that we rejoice in that, and we're rooted and grounded in the love of God. And let me just say this too, is when he's talking about being rooted and grounded in the love of God, he's talking about not only do we receive God's love, but then we share God's love too with those around us. As he's talking about that, he's talking about that we have that vertical relationship with God, that we've received the gift of salvation. We meet with him every day and we have that intimate walk with him. But then we also pour that love out. When you're filled with the love of God, it's going to overflow, because his love is never ending. It's not like he says, okay, you got enough and I'll leave you alone for a while. No, he continues to pour out his love upon you. He continues to bless you. But then he also calls you to be a blessing to those around you, and a sweet smelling aroma to him when you do that. By sharing the message of the gospel, by loving on people that are hurting, by pointing them to Christ and reminding them of the grace that's available there, the forgiveness that's available, and the love that's available from Christ. And so he tells to be rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width and length and depth and height. Now, as he's talking about that, it reminds me of Romans chapter 8. He's talking about those same things. As he's saying, listen, as that you may begin to comprehend the great love of God. And I want to say this, if you begin to comprehend and you begin to meditate upon the love of God, you have less tendency to want to turn to your brothers and sisters in Christ and grumble and complain and gossip and talk about and always be negative. Because when you're thinking about the positive things or the blessings of God, it's hard to turn around and be negative towards people or to people. And so when you run into people that are extremely negative over and over again, especially one who professes to be a brother or sister in Christ, as a brother or sister in Christ, speak the truth in love and just say, listen, do you remember God's grace that you've received? Do you remember the blessing of salvation? The joy of your salvation may be missing right now because you've quenched the spirit. Maybe you just need to turn back to God. Maybe you just need to humble yourself and get on your knees and thank him for that grace that you've received. Not to be condescending, but lovingly speaking truth into their lives. But also that he says to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, as we're talking, he's still talking about power here and the power of God. And the power of God's strength, but also the power of God's love. I want to tell you this, the people that you see come to faith when you love on them and you build a relationship with them and you share the gospel with them and you saw before that their hearts were hardened towards God, maybe they didn't even want to hear anything about God. You start to talk about church and you want to talk about how the Lord's blessed you and it's like, hey, that's good for you, but I don't want to hear that. But then over a period of time and you love on them and you share the love of God with them, the power of God is how he begins to work on them to draw them to himself. And as he's doing that, maybe that person becomes more open to say, you know, I'm really going through a tough time. Would you just pray for me? Whereas before they didn't act like they even cared about prayer or didn't even believe in prayer. Miss Sissy, how many times have we seen that in the pantry down there where people come in, you offer to pray for them. It's like, no, I appreciate it. I don't want it. But then about a couple months later, they're like, would you pray for me for this? Because what's neat is especially, and this is the thing I want to challenge the church is about testimonies too, is when people come back down to the pantry and say, well, you know, y'all prayed for me for this a couple months ago, and this happened, and God blessed. Amen? And that powerful of testimony is speaking of the power of God to change lives. And too often, that's one of the things besides the gospel we have as a tool that we can use to point people to God's grace, God's power, and God's love, and we fail to even share it. But I challenge you to be mindful of that in sharing the things, because when it says that it passes knowledge, I have people all the time come up to me, preacher, can you explain this? I can't explain God. And so there's certain things we know from the scriptures, but there's so many things about his power and about his love that are not yet known. Our little 3.5-pound finite minds can't comprehend that fully. But as we begin to search out and seek for and want to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ daily, it's amazing how he gives us more and more understanding. Not that we're spiritually enlightened and above these others over here, but how when you're seeking him, he says, I'll be found. He'll reveal himself to you. And the Spirit of God as our teacher will help us to give us that understanding. Sitting around brothers and sisters in Christ as we're studying the Word of God together. Again, being a part of the family of God, it's important. That's how God works in our lives to help us to grow closer to him and to also give us better understanding of him as well. And so he says that we would have the fullness of God. I want to say sadly, I'm not talking about salvation here, but when you talk about the joy of the Lord and the fullness of God, we're in a very weak state as a church in America today. By large numbers, because many are not experiencing the fullness of God because they're so full of the world. They're so full of these things that are distracting them from that close, intimate walk with God. We put everything else before him. And I'm going to tell you, each one of us are going to answer for that individually as we stand before God. And you won't be able to do like you do the preacher and others and say, well, you know, I had this plan months ago and I had this happening and all these excuses that we give. He's going to say, but I died for you and I'm supposed to be first in your life because you were first on my mind and my heart when I went to that cross and took that beating when I died for you. You see, he is king. So if he's king, that means we're his servants. Even as his children, we're his servants. And with that, there's a responsibility that should come out of our great love for him. Now, we've been talking about a lot about his love for us, but what about our love for him? You see, we should be showing him our love, regardless if anybody else ever knows, because we're not doing it for the applause of man. We're not doing it to be pleasing to man. But that we show that to him through our faithful, obedient commitment to him. Folks, I want to tell you something. We live in a time when those words faithful don't mean a whole lot to a lot of people today. Obedience, man, that's like a taboo. Don't mention that. That's like a slap in the face. And commitment, I can't even begin to spell it. But as a follower of Christ, we're called to all of those things. But I think about, too, what he gave up for us. He gave up everything for us. The glory and the splendor of heaven is described there in Philippians chapter 2. That he set aside and he came to earth and he died for us. And that's what you as a Christian say, I'm looking for that day and I'm going to be in heaven, those streets of gold and all these things we talk about. My thing is I just want to see Jesus. Those other things are just asphalt that you're talking about when you talk about gold. It ain't even important. We value it highly, $1,000 an ounce or better here, and it's going to be asphalt. So what does that tell us about where we put our importance? Again, it's on the inner man, not the outer man. It's about what God is doing in you and then what you're doing with that, with God. Paul's beginning to talk about application here. He's been talking about teaching, but with teaching has to come application. That application is you didn't have to now live it, and that's what Paul's talking about. Is you don't just hear it and gain all this knowledge and soak it in, be like a sponge and sit and soak and sour, but that you actually pour out what you've learned and what you've heard, first of all, in thanksgiving to the Lord, but then secondly, in relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, in lifting each other up and encouraging one another, holding each other accountable, but then also those who are lost and pointing them to their need for Christ. I want to tell you today, maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. I beg you, I encourage you, please, don't leave here today. If God is speaking to your heart, I'll be glad to talk with you and tell you how you can know Christ as your Lord and Savior. How you can settle that issue of knowing that you have that relationship with Christ and that you can have eternal life and hope and heaven. And it's not cheap, folks. He says, take up your cross and deny yourself and come follow me. It's not a cheap grace we're talking about here. It's not a cheap salvation. The other thing is maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. And maybe the Lord speaking to you and said, this is where I need to be a part of and I need to grow. And I need to be a part of helping and serving in this church that others may know Christ. And then also I can be encouraged and strengthened too through that relationship together as the body of Christ. And whatever way God is speaking to you today, this altar is open and you're welcome to come. Visitors, don't hesitate. This altar is open for everybody's here. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for coming and wanting to hear God's word. I want to ask you now just to stand. I'm going to close in prayer as we have our time of invitation. Would you come? Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the living word. And God, I just pray now, Lord, having heard your word, Lord, that as followers of Christ, Lord, we would not only be hearers, but we'd be doers of the word. We would take your word and apply it to our lives, and then it would change our lives from the core of our being, Lord, from that inner man outwardly, that we would be changed. And Lord, for those that are here that are looking for a place to call home, to be a part of the body of Christ, to serve you, Lord, we invite them to come, Lord, knowing that there's a place here for them to use the gifts and talents and abilities you've given them as your children, Lord, to grow and to serve and to be encouraging and be encouraged in Christ Jesus. And Lord, for those that don't know you, Lord, I especially pray today they would not leave here thinking maybe another time, but Lord, we promise that today is a day of salvation and we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Lord, I pray that they would come today, Lord, and acknowledge you as their Lord and their Savior, unashamedly, Lord, and they would receive the glorious gift of a miracle of salvation through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, through his death, burial, and resurrection, believing upon him, calling upon him, and committing to him, Lord, that they too would be saved. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.